Radio.
What's going on, everybody? We are back. This is episode 233 of the Dark Windows podcast. My name is Kevin.
I'm Kevin.
And he burped right into the microphone.
Fuck you, preemptively. I didn't
burp directly into the
microphone. Close enough. You microphone adjacent. You know, our fucking harshest critic there, dickweed. So I was on my way home from work today. I kind of took the long way to get out of the city because I don't like driving through the city. It makes me fucking angry. So I was on a 2-lane section of the road and I see your vehicle in front of me. And I was like, sweet. So I roll up next to it. Same color, same make, model, all that. And I just out the passenger side window with the middle finger. And I look over. And this is little old man, and he was not impressed. So, not looking for confrontation. I just drove off real fast. I didn't wave or nothing. I just, boop, just took off. Yep. I was like, shit.
Because he would have kicked your ass.
That's the wrong Honda, man. That's, got the wrong guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
That was fun.
Mine's, you know. There's nothing to set mine apart from anything else.
It's and there's so many of them. There's so many of them. Like, exactly identical to yours in the area.
I blend the fuck in.
Yeah. My truck, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of them that look like it, but I think mine's the only one that has black rims. So that's the only thing they can really notice.
No, I notice you because you got that fucking flowing mane.
No, what I'm saying is, like, if you see the truck, you don't, you know... there's a couple that are identical to mine, except they don't have the black rims on it.
And they also don't have you behind the steering wheel.
That looks if you see it like up the road in traffic, you don't think anything. Because I don't put stickers in my truck. I took the dealership stickers off my truck. I took the dealership plate brackets off my truck. But unless you ask where I bought it, you don't know. And I don't put any stickers to distinguish my vehicle from anybody else's on it. Because I just don't do that.
I have no stickers on mine. You know? That's no dealer. They didn't put those on.
I don't even have any, like, personal stickers on mine.
They didn't have plates, things that for the dealership.
Oh, yeah. Ours does.
Nope.
So.
I would, if they put, like, you know, one of those stickers on for the company, I would, like, take it off.
So I had mine removed, and then the first time I had it washed, someone from there said, oh, there's no sticker on this truck. He bought it here, and they had it put back on. And I was like, I walked out, and I was like, nah. Let's take that off. So I went back to recon, and they took it off again. Like, no, yeah. Don't need that. That's fine. Thanks.
Now we get the other asshole that says, that's bitching because, you're taking too long. Just get to the fucking episode.
We're like fucking 2 minutes in.
I know.
Relax.
That's 2 minutes that, you know.
Relax.
That they couldn't, you know.
There's motherfuckers that do podcasts. Like, there's one I've tried to listen to multiple times, and it seems like it could be good. I just can't. Because they're like, yeah, it's like an hour and a half long podcast, which is fine. I'm okay with that, because I've got plenty of time to listen while I'm at work. But when the first hour is them just kind of shooting the shit, and then the like last half an hour is the information,
no.
Can't do it. You got to mix it together.
Yeah.
You got to bullshit with your information.
Exactly.
You can't, you know.
You got to mix your bullshit in with your bullshit.
And I'd like to think that on our 5-year mark for episodes, which is this one, we've learned how to do that pretty decently. You know, yeah, we go on tangents and shit. Kind of part of the deal. But yeah, it was either this week or last week as our 5-year episode, but.
We're 5 years sober, bitches.
No, not even close.
Whoops. Damn. All right, fine.
No, we've been just fucking treading water for 5 years, buddy.
You know it.
We've done all right. I mean, it's been some speed bumps here and there, but, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, what is it that we're talking about?
Well, this week we are talking about Well, if you listen to Patreon, you would know.
Patreon.com/darkwindowspodcast. $5 a month gets you access to an extra episode every week.
You know it.
Goddamn right.
Bitches. We're talking about a cult.
Neat.
I'm not going to classify this in the same category as all the other cults.
Is this
covered.
A fun cult?
No. Well, sort of, maybe. I guess. I don't know. I mean, if you like sex, yes.
Okay, cool. But it's not like a, you know, we're going to like beat the shit out of your kids cult?
No. Not one of those cults.
Interesting.
Thank you. This is more like...
This is like bring your wife, but I'm the only one that can fuck anybody kind of cult?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my kind of thing.
Yeah.
How fucking the Branch Davidians were for a little bit.
Yes.
How People's Temple got there for a minute. Yeah. Ant Hill Kids without the fucking grossness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were, you know, it was more like, you know, the 70s.
Oh. So it was just gross. Free gross
love.
Sex.
You know, ugh. I mean, everybody should be with everybody. Utopia bullshit.
It just smelled like feet and body lice.
We'll get into it. Ugh. Okay.
So full disclosure, I have to redirect myself for next week because I forgot you were doing a cult. And the thing I was looking at was like, oh, we haven't done a cult in a while. Maybe I'll try it. So.
You dipshit.
All good. Shit happens, man.
I told you I was doing one, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. I also work 40 hours a week and then have a kid here. I can't remember what I put on for fucking shoes this morning, my man.
Hey, you know, it's life.
It is.
It is a song. That's life.
Yep. That's what all the people say.
Yes. Get shot down in June and something in May or something.
You fucked that up
I don't
completely.
Know.
That's okay.
Fuck it.
You're not Italian enough to have fucking Frank Sinatra stuff memorized.
You are,
I get it. I'm not.
You're more Italian than
I've
me.
I've proved it.
Wait,
I've
whatever.
Proved that I'm not.
I think there's a mix-up.
It's Spanish, so it's like my,
close.
My DNA hasn't
you're
been
like
relevant.
The touch hole cousin
hasn't been relevant in centuries. So
you're the touch hole cousin. It's okay. I mean, you know, we both one thing we do have in common is the fucking frog.
Yeah, and the Irish.
I definitely have the Irish.
Yep. Speaking of which, man, we missed out. I got banned from Facebook, so I couldn't share all my IRA posts on St. Patrick's Day. I'll have to save them for Easter, I
Even
guess,
though
now.
I don't celebrate St. Patty's Day.
Doesn't matter, man. Dead paratroopers are dead paratroopers.
It's true. Anyway, so for this week, we're discussing sex cult, basically, is what it is. It's called the Oneida Community. They had a couple more other names. At their height, they had more than 60,000 people that would actually come to the community. This was in the period of 1860.
Oh, you meant C-O-M-E. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Never mind.
Not, no.
If they did, though.
These groups would consist of church groups, journalists, to the likes, and others such as the likes of Susan B. Anthony and the Secretary of State for Abraham Lincoln, William Seward, who would... Not mistaken, he was actually shot on the same night that Lincoln was shot.
It's a conspiracy.
Yes.
I still find it hard to believe people had sex in the mid-1800s. They just didn't
they
seem
did.
Like they were into it.
They had the sex.
You know.
They had all the sex.
It was more of a chore than a, you know,
well,
than really, really being into it.
Yeah. I mean.
Unless you're Benjamin Franklin, that was back a little bit further.
He was having all the sex.
That dude was throwing dick everywhere.
Yeah, he was fucking.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, he invented a couple of venereal diseases.
He probably invented some sex positions.
Yeah, probably.
I guarantee it.
He went to India and he's like, listen.
I don't think he went to India, but
shut up.
He
went to India and he's like, I'm gonna teach you some shit. Okay? Both of you take your mustaches and just push them together.
Kama Sutra my ass. I'll show you. This is the biz.
Fucking Kama. Kama Benny is what it is.
Yeah. The community would greet these guests with just about the same as any other cult. They would treat them with respect And, well, we all know it's just to get people interested and so that they would join the,
right.
The group.
Yeah. Unless it's, you know, 12 tribes and they just take your shit and make you work for them making bread and stuff.
True.
You know.
And these folks even had...
kidnapping potato, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You know.
These folks even had their neighbors fooled. Their neighbors would say that this group were as generous, industrious, and honest neighbors as any other neighbor could be. They liked to talk and show off about their group. They would, what I mean by doing this while talking and showing off is that they would send letters to newspapers of the time, and they would say that their ultimate goal was to have everyone in the world be a part of their society. Fucking duck and cover. They're coming in, the commies.
Dude, there's fucking feds in my backyard. I hear them.
I told you we shouldn't have talked about that fucking episode.
I'm five buttons away, man.
Wait. It was on Patreon, so they had to pay for it.
They had to have paid for it.
Uh-oh. Is that the front door? They're going away. Maybe that's just a skyship to see if we're in the room. They're gonna
I don't know, man. All I know is I just got to start yelling for Alexa to play Fortunate Son in Thon. Goddamn right.
So the center of this whole community was a man by the name of John Humphrey Noyes. He is another one of those guys that unfortunately...
Hump Noyes.
Huh?
Hump Noyes.
Oh, yes, Hump Noyes. He's another one of those guys that unfortunately Vermont has to claim as one of its own. Don't really want to, but we have to. He was not what we want to be, to have to be, you know, as one of the people that we have to claim, but whatever.
People also throw fucking Howard Dean and Bernie Sanders on us too, and neither one of them are our fault.
No. He was born here on September 3rd of 1811 in Brattleboro. Which is, for everybody that doesn't know, Brattleboro is in the southwestern or southeastern side of the state.
Yep.
It's the second to last town on that side.
It's where you can go to buy heroin and also to get off of heroin.
Yes.
So. Yes.
He was the son of a well-to-do New England businessman. Noyes graduated from Dartmouth College, which is in Hanover, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. It is an Ivy League college.
Yep.
And seemed bound for a legal career. His shyness was so paralyzing that he stammered and stuttered through his first court appearance. Now, I'd stop, because I did not know that Dartmouth actually had a legal program there.
They're an Ivy League school.
Yeah, but I just never knew that. I don't know. I thought you went there to be a doctor, because they have a doctor. They have a hospital associated with it.
Every Ivy League school has all of that shit.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just associate him with it as being a doctor, you know, being a hospital school. That's it.
I didn't even go to college and I knew that.
Well, I didn't know that. So,
Mr. Fucking 14 years in college, whatever.
Wasn't 14, but.
9, whatever.
Nope, wasn't that either.
7?
Nope. Nope. Do you have any more guesses?
6.
No.
Oh, man, it was 5.5, wasn't it?
No.
I'm not talking cumulatively. I mean, from the time you started to the time you got done. That's like 7 years, dude. You could have been a doctor.
Wait a minute. I took time off. So
that's what I'm saying. I don't care. That doesn't
I took like 5 years off. So it's like over 10, but I still took 5 years off from school.
A fucking master's degree with that.
No, you can't. Well, you say could have, actually. I could have fed four. Yeah.
It's just like your professor said, doesn't apply himself.
No, they never said that.
I got that a lot in high school.
So, like I said, I didn't know that they had a law degree. Well, now you do,
and you also feel bad about yourself because I'm a bad friend.
No, I don't feel bad about myself because I know for a fact that I did apply myself.
But I'm also a bad friend, though. So.
Yeah, you're just being a dick.
That's fine.
It's okay.
It happens.
I've come to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's one of your redeeming qualities.
It is.
You know, asshole.
Yeah.
You know.
But I at least do it in fun. You know, I'm not one of these people that thinks being a giant asshole intentionally to everybody is a good, like, personal quality. I just do it for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Crushingly, I can't read my own fucking writing.
I know.
crushingly self-conscious, he felt daunted by life's uncertainties until he fought till the fall of 1831. And this is when there was a big thing happening during this period of time, and it was religious revivals
kicking
off.
Yes.
Let's see. So religious revivals were inflaming the New England area during that year of 1831. Farmers, backwoodsmen, and frontier families flocked to these frenzied festivals.
Yeah. Then they had to move south for the winter because their tents were not well insulated.
They were doing a lot of wailing, jumping, barking, and speaking in tongues and ecstatic expressions of salvation. John Humphrey had little interest in these displays, but after attending a four-day meeting, he felt transformed, dedicating himself to God. He left the law and entered the Andover Theological Seminary in Massachusetts.
Oh, Jesus.
He soon found it too high-bound for his religious zeal, and so he transferred to Yale Divinity School, and was more of a liberal theologian there named Nathaniel Taylor, who urged him to seek his own truth, even, quote, if it carries you over Niagara Falls. Funky.
I mean, that was about the same time where people were intentionally going over Niagara Falls in barrels and shit.
But this was close to a period where, okay, a little offside tangent because we're, you know, you're talking about going off.
Because it's what we do here.
So the book that I read or listened to for most of this was called Assassin in Utopia. It's by Susan Wells. I said on the Patreon episode, good book, just couldn't stand the narrator. Okay? She just kind of, I was like, blah. Yeah, I mean, she tried too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the only criticism I have of the book is that it has too many tangents it goes on to. Like, there's, like, a lot of them.
Wait a minute.
It's like, it talks about...
That's what we do here.
No, this one... But this is, like... we're kind of staying... I'm kind of staying relevant with this. Because I'm talking about the topic. And I try... Well, like, my research into the topic. Because it kind of gives, like, the back behind the curtain for everybody.
Yeah.
Because, like, this was... Like, I don't know. I kind of, like, felt myself going, okay, get to the fucking... Get back to... The whole story.
Right.
Get back to it, please. So I can, you know, finish my research portion of this. Because, I mean, actually, out of this book, I had Patreon episode and I had this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But, which was cool. But, they went on a tangent about, like, the Fox sisters.
Ah, okay.
And on
spiritualism stuff.
Spiritualism and like, yeah, there was some stuff I found out in there, like how what's his name? Jesus, I'm crow. I can't think of his name. God damn it!
That may be the most Vermont thing you've ever said on the show, too.
What?
Jesus, crow. We're that's us. Like nobody else does that.
Oh,
I don't know. Hear people say it in other states. You're like. How long were you there?
Yeah. Damn it. I can't think of the guy's name.
Harry Houdini?
No. I can't think of the guy's name. God damn it. This is going to bug me. He actually lived in Vermont for a while. God damn it. He was the owner of the New York Post. I can't think of the guy's fucking name. It's bugging me. But whatever. I'll move on. John Noyes actually, like, began to write to him.
Mm.
Well, then they kind of took off from there. I know I'm going to fucking think of it soon. But, anyway. Horace Greeley. I have my notes. Horace Greeley, okay? Who lived in a town called Pulteney, which is to the southwest.
We both lived in.
Yeah. And they he wrote to them, and then, well, they kind of went on a tangent with Horace Greeley on how he kind of helped the was helping like the political party, the Republican Party, and how he wrote different things. And then his he had a kid that died, and then his him and his wife got into spiritualism. So then they kind of like went off on a tangent on that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, I don't care, but it's just kind of a little bit nonsense to talk about that. And then all of a sudden they got into like some other guy who did some things. Well, kind of like you're talking about going over a barrel in Niagara Falls. Right. This happened to be this guy jumped off of, what is it, the Brooklyn Bridge when it was first built. And he jumped off that.
Pretty not smart idea, by
no,
the way.
No, and then, but then he also jumped off of Niagara Falls, survived that.
Idiot.
You know, kind of like a whole bunch of stuff that he did because he kept trying to go higher and higher. And it was just kind of like a little bit of that kind of stuff that was kind of thrown in. But it was an interesting book. I'll say that. If anybody wants to listen to it, you know, or read it, go ahead and do it. But we'll get back to this before everybody's like, come on, just get back to the fucking story.
Yeah, because we went on a tangent about a tangent. So yeah. we've gone
yeah.
full circle.
So he, you know, hooked up with Nathaniel Taylor. And through study and revelation, Noyes found and announced his truth, that he was a perfect human incapable of sin.
Oh, shit. We got one of them.
Yes. God, he said, gave him special protection. But his fellow students declared him crazy, and Yale nearly expelled him. He was stripped of his license to preach, but Noyes began traveling to promote his gospel.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure, like, I'm not a Christian of any variety, but I'm pretty sure that they're supposed to believe in the whole original sin thing and that we're all committing sin at any point willy-nilly.
Yeah.
And you're, like, supposed to be redeemed or whatever, but...
Yeah, well...
So this dude's fucking crazy, is what we're getting at.
Sort of. In the winter of 1835, the 23-year-old set out to win converts in Massachusetts. When he arrived in Brimfield with a fellow preacher by the name of Simon Lovett, the free-thinking, religious, inflamed townspeople welcomed them with rare enthusiasm.
Hmm.
One young woman, inspired by Noyes' shining gray eyes and expressive manner, kissed him seductively when he said goodnight.
Oh, Jesus. Then she showed him her ankle?
No.
Oh, Jesus. We didn't get...
He got panicked by her advances because he was very shy.
Yeah.
And Noyes, still blushingly shy, fled that night from Brimfield, telling no one that he was going to leave. And he went through the snow that and it was blowing, you know, beat hell.
Yeah.
And was super deep. 60 miles north in temperatures below zero to his family's farm in Putney.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, it's still southern Vermont.
It could potentially be below zero in Putney in fucking August, so.
Well, I mean, not really.
It's one of those places. They just got electricity there recently, too.
Now... Simon Lovett, on the other hand, stayed, okay, because he didn't, I mean, he was there still, he didn't realize that,
right,
that Noyes had left, and one night, two young women named Mary Lincoln and Maria Brown slipped into the preacher's bed to test the power of their faith.
Oh, shit.
They aimed to prove
they're going to Eiffel Tower this priest.
Yeah. They aimed to prove their religious zeal by showing that the spirit could always win over physical passion. Predictably, however, Noyes later recounted, flesh triumphed over spirit, the sexual scandal that resulted, infamously known as the Brimfield Bundling, was so explosive that Mary Lincoln fled to the mountainside, stripped off her clothes, and pled to God not to set Brimfield afire. The whole episode was blamed on Noyes, even though he was some 60 miles away in Vermont
mm-hmm.
and hadn't taken a part in the whole thing at all.
And this other poor man seems like he's been sexually assaulted by two ladies.
He definitely was, but it was Noyes' fault. Now, Noyes would choose to embrace this, and over the next 2 years, he would begin to preach his own radical theology to others. Also, with that, he actually declared that he wasn't going to follow any particular religion anymore.
Ah, yeah.
You know, mainstream religion. He was going to basically do his own thing. When a woman that he loved married another, he was so filled with envy and anguish and would declare, when God's will was done, marriage and sexual exclusiveness, guilt, and jealousy would no longer exist on earth.
Okay.
In a holy community, quote unquote. He would declare that this to a friend in the letter. In the same letter, he would also say, quote, there is no more reason why sexual intercourse shall be restrained by law than why eating and drinking should be. And there is a little occasion for shame in the case as the other. Jesus.
Yeah, he's loud. He's having fun, though, man. He's living his best life out there.
His declaration was published in 1837 to widespread outrage. But Noyes threatened to shout his new theology from the rooftops. He said, quote, I care nothing for reputation, he said, and vowed never to join any religious group again.
Right.
Unless I was acknowledged as leader.
Yeah. Yeah, that tracks. Mm-hmm. That tracks. That's how you start a cult.
Yes.
You go, I like religion, but I don't like your religion. I have to do my own thing.
Yes.
And then I also need to plow your wife.
And everybody else's wife.
Correct. That's the base plate that you give everybody when you sit down to interview them for the cult. Like, listen, I got to do it, man. You can't do it because I'm the savior. And just, you can't do it anymore.
True.
It's up to me.
In 1838, he would actually get married. He would marry a disciple of his by the name of Mary Holton. Their marriage, he told her, would be open and unsentimental. They would each be entirely free to love other people.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. But, until she brings a dude home.
But Harriet, an heiress, would be able to finance his passion for public publishing and religious doctrine. The newlyweds spent their honeymoon in Albany, New York.
Wow.
Purchasing a printing press.
What a fucking destination.
Yes.
Right, what do you go to Albany for now? Arby's, Popeyes that you may get stabbed in, and I think they have a mall there.
Crossgates?
Yeah.
And Popeyes is in Troy.
Same difference. You can get stabbed in either one.
True. So as early as 1834...
Are we really going to compare if fucking Troy and Albany are better than each other?
No.
No, they both suck.
No, so. I agreed. I said true.
Yeah.
You know.
Because that's like, you're getting down to that part of New York where it's like, oh, you guys should be your own state from here south because y'all suck. And then everybody from here up are like us, just rednecks and shit. You know, anybody that considers Albany upstate New York is fucking wrong. They've clearly never been to, like, Plattsburgh or, you know, what the hell was the other? Messina, where you can, like, spit and hit Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's upstate.
Saranac Lake.
Yeah, that's upstate.
Yeah. As early as 1834, he had published a monthly monthly article in New Haven called The Perfectionist. It quickly attracted more than 500 subscribers. 3 years later, he launched a new paper, The Witness, in upstate New York. But he distributed only a few issues. Then they would actually go back to Putney.
Mm-hmm.
He and Harriet planned to ignite the new religious revival through the printed word. Noyes recruited three of his eight siblings to help with the publication and attracted a small little, you know,
following.
Following, yeah. Yeah. Within 5 years, he had more than 30 disciples who drafted and signed a, quote, statement of principles.
Okay? Ah, cult contract.
Yeah. John Noyes, they pledged, quote, is the father and overseer whom the Holy Ghost has set over the family thus constituted. To John Noyes, blank, 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 you know, whoever, we submit ourselves in all things.
That's odd.
Yeah.
I don't.
Two followers, Mary and George Cragen, agreed to join John and Harriet Noyes in a group marriage.
Oh.
Other converts soon follow their lead.
Oh, it's going to smell so bad.
Yeah. Although the arrangement were open secret, townspeople in Putney were outraged.
Yeah.
After Mary Cragen gave birth to Noyes' twins, Victor and Victoria.
And get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
What an asshole.
Authorities learned about the group's conjugal customs. In October of 1847, Noyes was arrested and charged with adultery and fornication.
Mm.
Fearing violence, he fled the village. Weeks later, he found refuge in central New York.
I hereby place you under arrest for fucking someone that ain't your wife.
Yeah. With a follower named Jonathan Burt. He wasn't actually a follower when he arrived there. He actually took, got to know him or whatever, and then took him in and said, hey, listen, you know, I like what you're talking about. Kind of cool. Kind of like another guy that I'll kind of go into a little bit.
Funny story, I went to school with the Jonathan Burt, and he's a good shit. Also not in a cult.
No, that's good.
Yep. He was like one of five kids that graduated from Whiting Elementary School before he went to high school.
Uh-huh.
Is that high school? Is the fucking elementary school is the size of my house. It's wee.
Yeah, close. Yeah,
they got like 12 kids there.
It might be a little bigger.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, I mean,
it's got a way better playground than my house.
They don't have any goddamn kids there anymore.
No?
Well, they have a daycare there, but there's no kids that go there as far as elementary school goes.
Yeah, that's surprising. It's surprising it took this long, actually.
Well, it's been like that for a couple years now. Hmm. Jonathan Burt was the owner of a sawmill on Oneida Creek. Burt had read about and passionately embraced Noyes' theology, as I said.
Of course, he wants to fuck everybody, too.
He invited the Putney group to settle on land adjoining his 40 acres of fields and woodland. The property, once owned by the Oneida tribe, had a barn and a primitive cabin on 23 rolling acres. Noyes purchased the land for $500 and summoned his devoted band. Well, back then, $500 was a lot.
I was going to say, it was a lot of money back then, yeah. Yeah.
Then in March of 1848, his wife Harriet and Mary and George Cragen arrived by train at the Oneida Depot. They were not the first to find fertile prospects in upstate New York. This was kind of a hotbed of eccentric theology. And this is kind of like where they kind of went into a whole bunch of them, and I'll touch on a few. So in 1776, an English woman named Anne Lee had settled near Albany with a few followers. This one was a little bit nutty. She claimed she was the female embodiment of a bisexual god, and her disciples committed to complete celibacy.
Now, you could have also just changed that year to 2023, and I would have believed that someone on the internet has said that.
Probably.
About themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've seen some videos, man, of people. I'm like, no, if you read the Bible real close, you can definitely tell that Jesus was transgender. And you go, wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you do you, but I don't understand where this is fucking coming from.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't make any sense at all.
Very true.
You know?
He
wasn't transgender. He also wasn't white. So, let's just get that, clear that up. He was probably looked like he should be running like a 7-Eleven or something, but... He weren't white. He didn't look like fucking, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Star Wars episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Definitely not.
No.
So the sect known as the Shakers grew from the 9 original members.
Oh, Jesus.
To 6,000 in the 1840s. Also, during this period, another little group popped up in around about the same area as Oneida.
The fucking Mennonites.
Nope.
Oh.
No, you're close with the M.
Mormons.
The Mormons.
Mormons are good folks, though. They're all right.
John Smith. He was from Vermont. We had to claim him. And so was Brigham Young.
Yep.
John Smith had actually gone out to Western New York to, I don't know, what was it, to like...
read his tablets.
he actually to hunt for treasure and said he claimed to have found tablets that were like the lost tablets of the, I don't know, Bible or some shit like that. Yep. And but they were in a different language.
Yeah, of course.
And he somehow was able to, decipher them.
Yeah, he had like a lens that he could read them in his hat with.
Something, I don't know. I mean, he was told, you know, I think he had a conversation with somebody and that, you know, was an alien.
It was a white Native American that came to him in his sleep.
Maybe, possibly.
Actually, I've got a couple of books about the world's scariest Mormon that I am going to do an episode on at some point in time. Motherfucker was crazy.
He, and... So, like, this is basically where, and he came up with the whole, you know, polygamy and everything else. The Mormon church came out of
that. Not all of them do that. Only the gross ones do that shit. Regular Mormons just get married and have, like, 38 kids.
Possibly.
And they're good folks.
So,
it's the FLDS guys you got to watch out for. Because they'll send their, like, fucking... white shirt with a pen in the pocket and black tie assassins after you. Regular Mormons are fine.
Yeah.
They're polite. We had some that showed up at our door and Shelby was here by herself and she's like, yeah, I'm not real interested. And they're like, oh, that's fine. Have a great day. And they just walked off. You're not like the Jehovah's Witnesses where they'll fucking harass you for it.
I mean, probably like the another ones that people would know more about would be the Mennonites and they would... You know, you know the Quakers.
Mennonites are just the Amish with electricity.
Sorta. And cars.
Yeah.
But the Amish, and then everybody knows, you know, if you don't know the Amish, well, I mean, they're just...
baked goods like a motherfucker from the Amish, though.
They do. But the Amish are... they're not kind of like these groups. They're kind of more like this one I'm talking about and some of the other... cults that we've talked about because they're really not a cult. They just they just believe in the Bible stringently.
Yeah,
and they speak Dutch.
Yep,
but they speak it's like a lower form of Dutch that really isn't used.
Yeah,
so but they
only they use it. Like they can go from Amish community to Amish community, basically anywhere in the country, and be able to communicate.
Yeah, and they don't like it when you. They allow you to have a week. They call it Rumspringa.
Yeah, you're allowed to just go fucking buck wild and like play pinball and stuff.
There's some people I'm trying to explain for some people who don't know, like Ben and stuff that don't know, you know, the Amish. Some people that don't live around here, they're like, hey,
That's what I'm saying is like they go fucking hog wild. They like go to fast food restaurants and shit like that. And
yeah, I mean they're kind of a little more.
They party, man. They get down.
They're a little bit lax. Up here a little bit, you know, I mean, I've seen them like in downtown Rutland before.
City.
Hey, I saw them at the fucking Great Escape. That was with.
Man, I want to see them at the water park. That'd be
they
great.
They were. They were on the Raging River. The Raging River. They were on the Raging River. They went, all of them. I think even mom and dad were on it. I'm not mistaken. I mean, I was like, holy shit, they're going to get fucking cooled the fuck down if they get underneath one of those waterfalls because they had, you know.
Well, the problem is if they fall in, they'll sink with all the wool. It just absorbs water and it'll drown them.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, but yeah, they've kind of up here, though, like, they're kind of lax, but they're not really like, I mean, they're one of the ones that like, they feel that if you take your picture, you take their picture, you're stealing their soul. Yeah. They have horse and buggy. My uncle doesn't like them because they shit in his parking lot. Their horses.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like them because they don't pay.
Brother Hezekiah doesn't carry a shovel. Brother Hezekiah also don't give a fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, kind of, I don't know, that's neither here nor there, but there's just kind of like bunch of the groups that kind of came around. I think maybe the Amish and Quakers were here.
Quakers were here for a while.
A while. I mean, I think the Amish were too.
Probably.
Maybe. But the region was so aflame with religious fever that it was later called the Burnover District. But social and religious experiments had bloomed across the country after the War for Independence. The revolution had shattered institutions and traditions. Charismatic leaders filled the void with new imaginative social cultures. In America's new democracy, any man could do pretty much as he pleased, declared the New York Tribune's founder, Horace Greeley.
Yep.
The individual was the world, said philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson. And almost every reading man had a, quote, a draft of a new community in his pocket. Inspired by faith in freedom and divine revelation, Americans launched more than 17 utopian experiments between 1800 and 1860.
Jesus.
And this particular one happens to be one of them. And also during this time, I am going to do this for an episode. I don't know if it'll be an actual episode or if it will be a Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do one on end of times.
Like doomsday cults.
Yeah. No. End of time.
Predictions?
Predictions.
There's so many, and they're all wrong.
There's so fucking many. We actually had a group close to us, like right across the border, that had one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who was that?
I can't think of the group, but they're like literally across the border.
Well, like right into like Whitehall or some shit?
Yeah. Like, huh. I mean, when I say, like, you can throw... As soon as you could cross the border,
right?
You make a fucking right. You go down the road, make a fucking left, go up the road a little bit. It's maybe as a crow flies, 500 yards.
So it's in like Hampton, basically.
Yeah, it is Hampton.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, they have like a church and everything. They had, you know, but they had like, it was some shit happened. Like they predicted, oh, hey, this is their follower, their leader. Predicted, oh, this shit was going to happen during this period of time because they started off there and then they went to, like, I don't know, was it Benson or something? And then they had gone to Fairhaven. And
I mean, if you go to Benson, you might as well have just witnessed the end of time because there's nothing there.
Not there in this time.
This time, I mean, like now, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, hard times.
There's like six people and a farm there now.
Different things happen, though. I mean, during that time, Benson was a little more different.
Fair enough.
So, in 1848, John Noyes' world on Oneida Creek was bleak and frigid. After they arrived by a sled at his gruesome homestead, Harriet and the Cragans moved into the log hut with its single room, but soon... built shelters for families who followed from New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts. By the end of the year, there were 87 men, women, children in the new community.
Okay.
Together, they constructed a three-story mansion with sleeping quarters for 100 people. The bedrooms were still unfinished in December, so the whole community moved into a 30-by-30 five-foot room on the second floor. They divided the space into 12 compartments, flimsily separated by hanging sheets. Neighbors whispered about the group's sleeping chamber, and scandalous tales multiplied when Noyes published his first annual report. The document chronicled the assets, members, and history of the Oneida community. As a branch of the Kingdom of Heaven, Noyes wrote, the society banned private property, monogamy, and sexual shame. Physical union, he maintained, was as holy as the Garden of Eden and God in heaven, and perfecting it as a form of worship, Noyes insisted, required that what he called, quote, a male continence.
Okay.
The suppression of ejaculation.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, you get the blue balls, man.
Members mastered this technique through careful practice. As Noyes explained, a boatman approaching a waterfall would reach, quote, a point on the verge of the fall where he has no control over his course.
They're edging is what they're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if he was willing to learn, quote, experience will teach him, end quote, how to remain devoutly in the, quote, the religion region of easy rowing.
Yeah, so basically, yeah. Just tug on it until you're about to shoot, and then stop.
Yep. But women were allowed to just climax.
Yeah, well, that's also because, you know, we got the juice. Like,
yes.
You know, women can do all that stuff, but, like, without... You can make a bunch... You can bake a bunch of stuff, but you need the batter to do so. And, you know, when only one person has the recipe for the batter.
True.
You know.
So, Noyes was eager to send his report to a wide audience, including the governor of New York and Horace Greeley.
Yeah, because I'm sure the governor of New York wants to hear about you not coming.
Probably. he was sure that Oneida's publications would draw legions of new followers. From his printing office at Oneida, he mailed his weekly newspaper, the Free Church Circular, to everyone that wanted it.
With Free Circle Jerk.
Yes. With no charge. He was certain of the power of religious journalism and aimed to create a theocratic daily model modeled on Greeley's popular New York Tribune. So I guess this right here is probably a good time. We'll just take a brief break, and we'll come back, and we'll finish this off.
Yeah, this dude's a fucking weirdo so far.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit?
I mean, it's
okay. Weird. Okay.
So, yeah, weird. So we're going to finish this off. So for the next 30 years, Oneida flourished.
30 fucking years this goes on?
More.
Holy shit.
It actually went on beyond this, but it's kind of still there, sort of, kind of.
No.
Yeah, a little bit.
Weird mountain fuck cult still going on?
No.
Oh, they changed it.
Yeah, it's changed.
Oh.
So for the next 30 years, the Oneida flourished. The community, which in the early years numbered about 200 persons, I'm sorry, earned a precarious existence by farming, logging, and I'm sorry, earned a precarious existence by farming and logging before the arrival of a new member who gave the community a steel trap that he had actually invented. Manufacture and sale of Oneida traps, which were considered the best in the land, became the basis of a thriving group of industrial enterprises that included silverware, embroidered silks.
Just about to ask about that.
And canned fruit.
So I was like, I wonder if this is where the silverware company is, because I've got a bunch of that stuff.
Now I got to stop here and talk about the traps. Now, I did say that the traps it kind of came from this one guy, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, the traps were so good because the guy, well, he was a trapper.
Yeah.
And he was a world famous trapper.
John.
No.
God damn, that was good.
I know, but wasn't that. I don't remember his name. It was in the book.
I mean, we can
apologize. Good, we can.
Trapper BJ Honeycutt.
No. Trapper John works.
BJ was the better of the two, though.
Yes, he was. What the hell does BJ stand for?
I don't know. His
BJ.
Yeah, his mother's name was B and his father's name was J.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, wow.
Yeah.
These guys are fucking old. They're making jokes about MASH. Yeah, fuck off. We get it.
Eat my ass. So he actually had heard about the community. So he went there, like many others, and arrived, liked what he saw, liked, you know, the atmosphere and everything. So he said, you know, fuck
people
it.
Just banging everywhere.
I'll join. So he, you know, was like, got kind of like, you know, noise kind of got interested in the traps and was like, hey, how the fuck do you make these? And he was like, well, I'll show you. So he kind of showed him how to make the traps, and one thing led to another. They kind of set
him.
No.
Oh.
He kind of set up a little, that their little business with making traps. They had like a whole, like, assembly line going where they would, you know, get these traps built, make them, and get them fucking sent out. And this is kind of like where they made their money.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Was on stuff like this. Now, the central feature of the community was the custom of holding criticism sessions, or cures, the practice that Noyes had discovered in his seminary days at Andover. They were attended by the entire community at first, and later, as the community grew, were conducted before the committees presided over by Noyes.
Mm-hmm.
For those subjected to criticisms, it was nerve-wracking ordeal. Yet the sessions probably had more therapeutic value as seems of releasing feelings of guilt and aggression.
It's the only thing they're allowed to release, so.
Yeah. Well, sort of. Not really. They were allowed to release other, too. But different. It was like, we'll get into it, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. The criticism sessions were also a shaming technique that enforced social control and were highly successful device for promoting community cohesion.
Mm.
So people, they would, like, men would get in the middle of a circle, and they would just, you know, be belittled or, you know, tell them, hey, well, you're bad at this.
You fucking suck.
That.
You're an asshole, John.
But kind of, like, got everything out in the open.
Yeah. That's the best way. Like, you can't bottle shit up.
Well,
better to just be out with it. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
It was kind of like, I think it kind of came down to, like, just a little bit of making shit up, you know, after a time, a fashion, because, I mean, you can only, you know, be like, oh, well, you suck at this.
It's,
you know,
Salem without calling each other witches.
Yeah, it kind of turned to, like, little petty things.
Yeah.
So, Noyes also believed...
Turned my goat into a chicken. No, I didn't.
Yeah. Noyes also believed that people should create children intentionally rather than through haphazard sex. But John Humphrey Noyes believed the Christianity view of sex limited to marriage had the effect of sexually starving young people from the age 14 until they wed.
Ooh.
He solved the problem by having young men practice having sex with older perfectionist women who would get gone through menopause. Okay?
Oh, shit. He's doing some MILF stuff here.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
They had gone through menopause.
Yeah, so they can't get pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah. This is its own category on websites.
Now, that way, young men could practice delaying gratification, which Noyes preferred method of birth control. He also believed women had the right to choose whether to have a child. Now, Noyes reserved most of the committee's young virgins for himself.
Also, of course.
Also, I have to stop right there, because the women were actually taught the same about having sex,
mm-hmm.
but they were taught by the older men, okay, who were like kind of like the fathers of the community.
Yeah, it's still gross.
If everybody knows what I don't know, some people might not know what I mean when I say, you know, he's like a
village elders kind of
yeah,
thing, yeah.
Village elder, a community father, which is basically an elder of the community that, you know, that everybody looked up to.
It's a dude in his 40s or 50s fucking a teenage girl.
Yeah.
So that's what it really boils down to, which is yucky.
Yes.
Which is yucky.
But as they thought, it was the only way to teach them how to have sex because, I mean, you weren't, you know, going to go. You, that man knew when to stop.
Sure.
Before, because he was proficient.
Yeah.
In it, and he could know when to hold himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before he blew his load, so to speak.
You're very articulate through all that. And you're like, yeah, before he just fucking everywhere.
Yeah, he was like, poosh.
Yeah. It's still fucking gross.
It is. It's not fucking gross. It's gross.
No, it's fucking gross, dude. It's ugh.
Yeah.
These are the kind of people that someone should have really, like... They didn't have wood chippers. Maybe put them in, like, a cotton press or something. Just fucking squash them flat.
Yeah. So Noyce, you know, reserved the community's young virgins for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, another odd practice.
No, it's not. If you're a cult leader, that's not an odd practice at all.
Men asked women to have sex through a third party. So, like... Hey, ask her if she wants to have sex with me. You know.
How many dudes just, like, pulled the move of, like, hey, so I need you to ask your friend if she will have sex with me and just leave the other dude completely out of it?
I know. I don't think they were supposed to do that. It
doesn't matter.
Listen, it was up to the women to say who they want to have sex with.
Mm.
So they could be like, no. Like, a prime example, if you listen to Patreon.
Patreon.com/Dark Windows Podcast.
From this past week, we talked about a guy who was actually turned down by said women. He could have...
Yeah, but he had a weird smelly dick or something, too.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that we came to the conclusion that his dick smelled.
Probably did. Smelly dick.
And that's why syndrome. He didn't get none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and having that third party, I guess, according to them, was kind of cushioned that letdown, according to them. I don't think it did.
Probably not.
But by 1869, John Humphrey Noyce began encouraging the best and brightest young people to have children. He called it stirrup culture. Others called it eugenics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's plenty of dumb people that fucking have dumb kids. There's not a lot of smart people that fucking have smart kids.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a problem.
I mean,
because eventually we're going to run out of people that know how to, like, you know, how electricity works. And we're just going to have a bunch of people that are real fucking stupid. We're already headed that way as it is. So...
Yeah, but yeah, eugenics is a fucking slippery slope.
Right, but encouraging people that are intelligent to have kids to keep, you know, some intelligent people in the world is not a bad thing.
This is how he thought they were intelligent. Let's put it that way.
Okay,
maybe they weren't intelligent in the fucking world. And some of the eugenicists that thought that people were stupid, you know, and different shit were actually dumb themselves.
Well, yeah, that's how that works.
I mean,
you know.
So that's...
It's like Hitler putting all the Jews in camps when he was, you know, part one himself.
He was not.
Well, his grandmother was.
No,
he wasn't?
No, he was never a Jew.
Well, he only had one testicle, though, so whatever.
Yeah.
And he was a terrible fucking painter. Probably. There, I said it. Hot take. Hitler was an asshole.
So that's when the community began... Wow, that was a fucking transition in half.
I mean, I know it's a stance to take at this point in 2023, but Hitler was kind of a piece of shit. I might get some hate for that, but, man, I'll stand behind it.
Mm. So this whole, you know, having selective breeding, we'll call it.
Yep.
That's when the community began to have trouble because parents wanted to raise their own children, and families also began to raise their children for a competitive capitalist society rather than for the communal good. In 1879, John Humphrey Noyes heard a rumor that he was to be arrested for breaking the state's marriage laws, so he fled to Canada. He would actually die there on April 13th of 1866, and the Oneida community went on to form a corporation. The business leaders determined the new company's most profitable products were plated spoons. Eventually, the Oneida Company grew into the world's largest producer of flatware.
Pretty gangster silverware. I've got a bunch of it.
Yeah. Now, I have to to end this, that there was a lot more that goes into this whole community that I got from listening to the book Assassin in Utopia by Susan Wells. And the reason I mentioned that there was a lot more that went into it. It's because I feel that to go into that, to every little bit of it, kind of would drag this whole thing on.
Absolutely.
And you have to kind of get boring.
You have to be selective with the information, especially from a large source like that, like a book. You can't put it all in there because it gets boring. You're like, yeah. I don't need to know what they had, what fucking color his socks were.
The thing was, is like there was like a lot more like. To the fact that, okay, when they kind of wanted to have their own thing, well, wanted to raise their own kids, well, okay, that was one of the part. But then when he left, things kind of, as the book said, they kind of let loose a little bit, the floodgates let loose, and he had one of his sons take over, and one of his sons wanted to change a lot of things. And because he was younger,
yeah,
you know, some of the older people didn't like what was going on, so they kind of wrote back to Noyes and were like, "Hey, listen, this is what your son's doing." So
your idiot kid,
yeah. So he kind of like took back the reins, even though he was in Niagara, Canada,
yeah.
And they're like. Okay, but then his wife, niece, or his niece wife.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who he had kids with and who she loved him and blah, blah, blah. Kind of was like, yeah, well, I like everything, all this other stuff, but, you know, yeah, I want to be able to pick my own partner too, and I want to be able to do what I want to do. And the son was kind of like, I want to do the same thing. So they kind of like, it kind of imploded upon itself.
Oh, no.
Where people wanted to like be able to not be told who they wanted to have sex with. And so like before like everything kind of came to like a head and everything was kind of like put out. Hey, you can be whoever you wanted to be with. I guess his niece, wife, or whatever. I don't know if they were actually married. She was reported to have, like, having had sex that day with, like, I don't know, like, a half a dozen men.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
She's the conductor of the train, man.
Like, I guess there was, like, a day where, like, people were just fucking. Just straight up, like, one partner to another. Just fucking bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, like.
Let's get it done.
And that's how you get an itchy crotch.
It is. And so, I mean, yeah, it was kind of, just a little bit like too much that I thought. So I was like, you know, well, I was like, I don't really want to go into all that detail because it doesn't really have anything to do with how the, you know, it's kind of like I don't know. How am I trying to put this? Like, just a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
You know. A cool fact, interesting fact, is that Noyes himself was actually related to a president through his mom. His mom was the aunt of Rutherford B. Hayes, the 19th president of the United States. And while Hayes was in office, he knew about Noyes' little community.
And just let it be.
And let it be. Didn't say a fucking word. Kind of secretly approved of it a little bit. Because he, like...
Well, you know,
I'm going to say this.
You know, with a name like Rutherford, he's a freak.
I'm gonna
like,
say,
he's
yeah.
into some shit.
I'm going to say this.
Dude's got pictures of feet in his walls and stuff. Oh, yeah.
During this time... Let's just say this. JFK wasn't the first president to fuck around on his wife.
They all do. Are you kidding?
Garfield was one of those that fucked around on his wife. Like, this is the part I didn't share during the episode. So Garfield, when he became, before he was president.
He was a cat.
He was in the army.
Oh.
Okay. And he got married to, you know, and while he was, while he was out fighting, doing whatever, somehow he met this woman who he liked or whatever, and then they began to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were fucking.
Yeah, that's
and,
what you do.
Then he felt so bad he had to tell his wife. His wife's like,
oh, you never do that.
His wife was like, bitch, you ain't fucking leaving my ass. Screw you. So she, like, refused to leave him. And, you know, but like, he kept going on. Like, he would, like, do more and more. And, like, a lot of the other presidents were doing the same fucking thing.
Yeah, they all do.
It was, like, oh, hey, you know. Because at this time, I mean, they didn't really, like, your wife kind of was, like, did what she wanted to do. She wasn't really too much at the house.
Yeah.
Because it was more like a place of business, really.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only president probably in history that hasn't fucked around on his wife is our current president, but I don't think he remembers where his dick is.
I don't know.
He couldn't find it without a teleprompter.
I bet there's a like. I bet you George didn't. I know George didn't.
George Bush?
No, Washington.
He might have, dude. He might
John
have.
John Adams didn't.
How do you know?
I don't know.
How do you know?
I don't know. Just saying.
Because he's your favorite president. He did nothing wrong. Benjamin Franklin's my favorite president, and he did all kinds of gross shit.
He wasn't president.
I know exactly.
So yeah. So that's basically. The Oneida community. Yeah.
I can't say I'm sad that a yucky sex cult fell apart, but, you know.
I mean, it wasn't, I guess it wasn't too much of a yucky
it
sex
It was pretty cult. Yucky. They were fucking kids, dude.
Yeah, they were. I mean, yeah.
That's yucky.
Actually, I didn't, this is one of those ones I didn't, I forgot, I should have put in here, I forgot to. I'm kind of like, thought about after, I'm like, oh shit. When he was, I can't remember exactly when it was or why it came up, but I don't know if he was got interviewed or if someone else started talking about it, about him or whatever, but it came about that he actually had sex with girls, I think it's like as young as like 9 years old.
Yeah, that's gross.
And like, because that was like back when... I don't know, did whatever. Like, I guess one time he wanted to show off how vigor he was. Yeah. And he had a whole bunch of girls around and he stripped naked and he hopped into a pond or lake or some shit like that and, like, swam out. It was fucking freezing cold, you know, like freezing water.
Dude, I didn't fucking drown.
He'd swim out, fucking swam back. He's like, ugh. And then I guess he kind of got to that point of, like, well, women are losing interest in me, so he kind of went a little bit younger.
Yeah, yeah, to like where they're not women, where they're children.
Yeah, and
you can coerce them into doing what you want them to do.
And like the whole kids thing, yeah, you could have kids, but you didn't raise the kids. And that was the whole part of why some of the parents were like, "Listen, I want to raise my own kid."
Yeah,
because it was more like the kids were raised in a kind of like a nanny communal setting.
Yeah.
Where
Takes a village.
Yeah, like, it was like, you know, this other people raised your kid for you,
mm-hmm.
and then the kid would join back in later on. So
you don't even know your own kids that way.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
So that's why, like, most of the parents were like, I don't know.
Whatever, fuck my kid, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
It's yuck.
Yeah, it was yucky, but it wasn't the...
We've definitely talked about worse.
Yes, we definitely have.
We're definitely going to talk about worse at some point.
For sure. So yeah, so that's the Oneida community, and, you know, if people don't like it, well, I don't know.
If you enjoyed this episode, seek professional help.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, if you enjoyed this episode, maybe not one to share on the bus, so go over to the studio, grab some earbuds. Or if you want to be a real fucking creep, get the speaker and use that on public transportation. go whatever you want to get, throw it in your cart. Dark Windows 15 at checkout gets you 15% off your entire order. Social media shit. You can, first of all, you go over to, I don't know if I've mentioned it or not,
no.
patreon.com/darkwindowspodcast. $5 a month gets you an extra episode every week. They're not free because you pay for it, Kevin. That's how that works.
Oh, okay.
So
shit.
But you can check us out on Facebook, Dark Windows Podcast. Facebook. We have two. We have the page, and then we have the group. The page you can sign up for, leave reviews and shit. That's cool. The group's where all the fun stuff's had.
Oh.
You know, Ben posted a thing earlier about group masturbation starting shortly, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he started hours ago because he's 5 hours ahead of us. But if he's still going, good for him. You know, good for him.
Good.
That works. We're on Instagram, sort of. Dark Widows Pod. Not really on Twitter that much, because Twitter's boring. It's not my thing.
No.
I don't like it. And it's all just people bitching. And I don't...
Bunch of bitches.
I don't want to listen to people bitch. I listen to myself bitch enough, so...
Yeah.
It is what it is. So we got to record Patreon now. And again, yeah, $5, you can come listen to that one too. It's pretty fucking great.
Yeah, fuckers.
Yeah, until next week, for all you sons of bitches that don't want to pay us, just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean the dark can't see into you. Bye.
Bye.